Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Monday edition, the seventh seed edition, they could be a better team, but end up in the same spot as they did in the playoffs last year, and maybe not advance as far edition. If you need a little pick-me-up today as a Packers fan, I think Aaron Jones has you covered. Edition. And I think I have found the new U.S. Bank Stadium version of Tausch having to hobble up the steps at the Metrodome. And I experienced it yesterday with Josh Myers edition. I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jace Wilde in Minneapolis, getting ready to head home after the Packers lose to the Vikings 27-25. Jesse Nelson, the king of the scoregami. Was that a scoregami?
It was not.
Okay. Is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from parts unknown, I don't know where he is, and I hope he gets the video going because I don't think everyone wants to watch just me in a hotel room throughout the program.
Yeah, the video's on. Video's running. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sitting here. Video, I'm up, but I'm by myself on the video stream.
By myself. And security is notifying him. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm ready. I'm taking a little trip here. Going to get out of Dodge for a few days. So the big game, I wanted to make sure I was on the show. So here I am. And I think you guys will love the video that I'm on. It looks, for wherever you thought I was out in California, it looks funnier because great. Kind of hamstrung with my options of where I could sit and what I could do. And so here I am.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. Don't care. Just happy to have you, truly. Because yeah. I thought you crushed it last night in the clips that I saw. Obviously, I was writing and interviewing people and all kinds of things at U.S. Bank Stadium. But I thought some of the points you made last night on Green Bay game night were fantastic. And I know you've brought up the 2004 team multiple times, and you did it again last night. You guys swept the Vikings, and then the Vikings came into Lambeau and mooned, fake mooned. I always hate that people tell that story that Randy Moss mooned the fans. He did not drop trowel, is that the saying? He fake mooned. So it wasn't a true mooning.
Let me tell you something. It felt full moonage. So
you guys got pantsed that day.
So, we did.
So for those that didn't listen to that, because that was one of the, I don't want to say silver linings, because there were certainly plenty of reasons to be disappointed in the Packers' performance if you're a fan. But for those that didn't catch Green Bay game night, tell them about that 2004 team. My question would be, does this team have what it takes to do what the Vikings did to you? Because I'm not entirely convinced that it does.
I don't know. I mean, if you look at it, Minnesota beat us, right, in the playoffs. They didn't go to the Super Bowl. They didn't win a world championship. So yesterday's game was important. It was important for a lot of reasons, mainly to stay out of the seventh seed. But outside of that, you're going to have to go win tough playoff games regardless. And this team has proven they're good, but they're not great. Great teams win games like that yesterday. You're not going to win all of them, but you don't lose five of them. So I don't feel like we were outmanned at all up in the Metrodome. I don't feel like their roster is markedly better. I felt like they outplayed us yesterday. I definitely feel like they outcoached us. And I think when you factor all those things in, Green Bay can beat any team in the NFC. They can also lose to every team. And they have proved to every – and that includes the St. Louis / Los Angeles Rams. That includes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They could lose to anybody that they play. That's the beauty of playoff football. So for everybody, it felt like last night the sky was falling. That was the tone. This team can't beat anybody. The season's over. I get it. It's a day after. You go throttle the Bears. You feel better about yourself. And then going into Philly or going into LA, this team can beat whoever they play. But for me to sit here, I was wrong about the Minnesota Vikings. They're better than the Green Bay Packers this year, period. Thin. That doesn't mean they're going to be better in January. So when you factor all that in, I still think Packer fans should hold out hope. But to sit here and act as if we're, you know, the best team, or even as I had put it, second or best team in the NFC, second or third best team in the NFC, I can't make that claim and be credible at all, because that's just not what the facts have laid out throughout this season.
And the bigger problem is, while I don't disagree that they are the fourth best team in the NFC behind the Lions, Vikings, and Eagles, they will also be in the pecking order behind the Rams. Have the Buccaneers officially clinched yet or not? I'm not sure.
No, they have to beat
that.
They have to beat, I think, New Orleans. They have to beat New Orleans to clinch. They now control their own fate.
So they will be also behind the Buccaneers, the Rams, and the Washington Commanders, unless they get a little help from Mike McCarthy, Big Mike, next weekend. So they are sitting in the seventh seed right now. The scenario is this: if they win and Mike McCarthy's team goes and beats the Washington Commanders, I believe that game is in Big D, then the Packers will get the sixth seed and they will face the third seed, which is going to be the Rams. But if both the Packers and the Commanders win, or for some reason if both the Packers and the Commanders lose, or if both the Packers and the Commanders tie, then they're the number seven seed and they're going to Philly. And Tausch, we talked about this. We agreed that that was, and again, I'm not saying they're not capable of beating Philly, but for some reason, I feel better about the chances of them going back to Detroit or going back here and winning than I do about them going to Philadelphia, who managed to beat Big Mike's team, not only with their backup quarterback, but then after losing him, their third-string quarterback yesterday. Is this exactly the scenario that you were hoping to avoid if you were a Packers fan?
I don't think there's any question. We did not want to see Philly, but that doesn't mean, I mean, at some point you're going to have to beat the Eagles if you want to get to your goal. But no, that is not the team that you wanted to match up with. But, you know, at this point, I think we're all looking at it and saying, all right, as Packer fans, are we good enough to beat any of those teams? I think yes. Some fans say no, but to do it on a three-game stretch when you haven't been able to do it throughout the season and you haven't proven it all year that you can, there's going to be a lot of doubt. But I don't sense that there's that same doubt in that locker room. And I think there's reasons to be optimistic, even in a time when you shouldn't be, because you have not proven that you can do it. But yeah, going to Philly would be the worst case scenario. But watching Philadelphia, they're good. They're good up front. They're obviously Saquon's really good. They have two really good wideouts. But Jalen Hurts is going to be probably 3 weeks. He probably won't play this week. He's going to be 3 weeks of not playing. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of rust. Their backup quarterback busted his ribs up yesterday. So to sit here and act as if this is like some mountain that is going to be just too big to climb to beat Philly, no. The mountain to get to a Super Bowl is a big one. And you're now slipped way down that mountain. And at some point, I don't know why it's taking this long, but at some point, you do have to start wondering, do we have enough energy to climb all this way? And I don't know the answer to that, but I do know they're good enough to beat all these teams, but they're also not strong enough to say that they're going to whoop anybody that's in this playoff field, because you have seven good football teams that are going to be playing. And I think everybody would love to play Tampa, but you know who's beaten, Tampa's beaten Detroit, and I believe they beat the Vikings. So it's tough. I don't know how you look at this from a perspective of, other than this thing is wide open, Green Bay's got a seat at the table, and it's just a matter of if they're going to do anything with it or if they're going to be the first one excused to go home and start their vacation. It's as wide open of an NFC as we've seen in quite some time.
Tampa did beat Detroit. You are correct about that. They did not beat the Vikings this season. But to your point, look, you're right. And we're going to get to Aaron Jones, because I thought, it was great to see him caught me by surprise with the hug he gave me. But that's Aaron Jones in a nutshell. He gave probably the most convincing, in my opinion, pitch that the Packers can do something still.
Is he biased, though?
Maybe a little bit. But look, you know who's even more biased? The guys in the locker room, right? And I'm going to send Jesse my conversation with Josh Myers, who, I'll be honest, Josh Myers, if they don't re-sign him, I am going to miss him, because he has become – he's not quite as humorous as you were as a player, but he's one of those, shoot you straight – don't sugarcoat it. If things go poorly, they went poorly, and I'm going to tell you they went poorly. But
they
went
poorly. they did not have a good day yesterday.
But he still believes. But what I thought was interesting was, in a locker room full of guys, and I didn't go to LaFleur and Love yesterday. I went to the locker room instead, frankly, in part because it had been a long time since I'd been in a road locker room, and I think I can be pretty effective in the locker room when I'm talking to guys. And there were a lot of guys, saying, hey, Josh Jacobs, for example, suggesting that they think they learned something from this game that is going to be a difference maker for them. Wouldn't say what it was, and I'm not sure I believe him, but that was what he said. Keyshawn Nixon talking about how we can beat any of these teams. We haven't, but we can. But I thought Xavier McKinney, when he said, Tim Van Voren asked him, do you believe that this team is on the same level as the Vikings, the Lions, and Eagles? His answer was, I want to say yeah, but right now the story is we haven't beaten any of those teams, so mm-hmm. I can't sit up here and say that we're on the same level if we ain't beat them. In order to be on the same level, you've got to beat these teams. And I think, Tausch, that it's great that you can say that, and it's great that you can have the confidence that, hey, we're capable of beating anyone. But it would be nice for your own, what is it you always say? What did Ronald Reagan say? Trust but verify.
Yep. They can, trust but verify.
They can trust that they're good enough, and they can believe that they're good enough, but they have not done anything to verify. And the idea that you keep saying, "Oh, we can do it," even though we haven't, at some point, even NFL players need the verification. They need the, okay, our confidence is properly placed because we beat the Vikings yesterday, or because mm-hmm. we went and beat the Lions, and they have not done that at any point. And until you do, you're kind of just blowing smoke, saying that you're better than you have proven to be. And, you know, you look at the teams they've beaten, even their quality win against the Rams was against the Rams team that did not have then and will have now Tyler Higbee, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. I mean, that's not the same team either. And so I understand. I understand the player's perspective, because what are they going to say, right? Well, we're pretty much cooked. We can't beat any of these guys. I don't even know why I don't even know why we're bothering. We should turn down our playoff berth like teams turn down bowl invitations. They're not going to do that. But the reality is that if they're going to prove it, they're going to have to prove it once they start playing the win or go home games.
And that's when you need to prove it anyways. But yes, for anyone to sit here and say, well, this team's not good enough, they're not. Well, over these five games, they have been close, with maybe one exception. You could say, well, yesterday's game wasn't as close as it was. If that ball just hits the ground and Green Bay gets it back with 2 minutes left, I have confidence they go down and win the game. Their kicker's good. He's going to make the kick. So, yeah, you could say that. And for 3.5 quarters, Green Bay got outplayed convincingly. But it's about positioning yourself and putting yourself in these situations where you can win. And then you can't continue to start games the way they have in the big moments. And I'll get to this, and then after the break, on the approach yesterday and the mentality of how we played yesterday was a huge wasted opportunity by, and I think Matt LaFleur is a really good coach. I think he's schematically really good. I like his approach on a lot of things. I don't love his demeanor and where he's at on the sideline. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I think he is way too emotional when it comes to too many things, and it continues to rear its ugly head. And until he even keels out, and this, you know, you could say he's young. It's like Wedding Crashers. You're not that young anymore, Matt. Like, you're one of the veteran guys. We need more stability from the emotional side. Like, I understand you're frustrated with an offsides call that was garbage. And I understand that you're mad that, you know, Jordan and Reed missed on that fourth down. All of those things are totally fine. But we have to start reining some of this stuff in. If you want to have an emotionally, you know, sound football team, you have to lead that way. And I just felt like yesterday was a game where you didn't have anything to lose. Like, it should have been a free flow. We're going for the jugular, not we're going to play cautious and tight. They did that yesterday in the first half, and that's why they got beat.
We'll get into that coming up. I also want to get into what Aaron Jones had to say. It is the worst case making the playoff scenario that they are looking at right now. Because as the seventh seed, if that ends up being the case,
if Atlanta knows how to call a timeout, it's a whole different ballgame last
year. Yeah, that was not great, Bob. I don't know what Raheem Morris was doing there. I was saying that to the television as I was standing in the back of the press box at US Bank Stadium. But again, the Washington Commanders find a way last night. They win in overtime. They have a better conference record than the Packers. So even though both teams are now 11-5, if they finish with the same exact record, if they both win next week, the Packers are the 7 and not the 6, which for a team that has been largely very good all season long, that is the exact same spot, even if they're 3 wins better, that they were in last year when they went to the playoffs as the 7th seed and got in on the final day of the season. All right, we will get to your positives and negatives. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll get to your positives and negatives coming up. We'll hear from Aaron Jones. But first, we got to hear from Tausch. Oh, the clock is ticking. It's almost January, which means
couple days left.
New read coming from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Ensure your home remains comfortable before we reach those brutal, and it's going to get cold, post-holiday winter. And yes, Santa Claus did a great job. Got all the presents delivered. Did exactly what he needed to. But those elves, they can't get it done. We need Pella Windows and Doors to do it. Too many options and customizations. Got to have the pros do it. So instead of going through the big red fella, take advantage of this great deal from Pella. Low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends in a couple of days, 12/31 of 2024. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
We'll hear from Aaron Jones and give our positives and negatives. Then we'll hear from you, 844-770-3776. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I hope you're joining us on the YouTube stream.
So I told him during the break he was getting the top of his head cut off, and I feel like we overcompensated.
Yeah. I try to appease, Jesse. I try to keep you happy. It's not easy doing that. I know how Becca feels.
There's a lot of opinions flying around in the YouTube comments among Jesse's favorite dwellers, getting a lot of feedback too via social media. We'll get to your calls coming up, 844-770-3776. But I do want you to hear what Aaron Jones said. So he did his media availability while we were in with the Packers locker room and LaFleur and Love, and I just ducked into the Vikings locker room as I was leaving, hoping to just see him. And he ended up coming out after getting some treatment. I think he injured his quad during the course of the game yesterday. And he's one of one. There's nobody quite like him. And it was great to talk to him, but he said, did you have any questions or did you just come in to see me? I said, well, basically, I just came in to see you, but I'll ask you this. You know, what does it do for you guys? You know, these guys keep saying, hey, we're good enough to beat the Lions, and we're good enough to beat the Vikings, and we're good enough to beat the Eagles, but they didn't beat any of them. You've now beaten these guys twice. What does this do for your team's confidence, especially when it comes to facing these guys? And here, while Matthew in the YouTube comments doesn't give an F what Aaron Jones has to say, I think you will. And here is what he said.
That is a good football team. I watch all their games except for the two we play them. I cheer for them every game except for the two that we're playing them. They're a good team. They have all the pieces, and it wouldn't be a surprise if we ended up running to them in the playoffs again, or if they ran into Detroit. We have the best division in football, so it's no knock on them that they didn't beat us or that they didn't beat Detroit, because it could be any given Sunday. You know that. So I'm proud of those guys too, though. They're a hell of a team.
So Tausch, yes, he is one of the nicest people on the planet that I've ever encountered. He cares about those guys. If you saw the game and you saw some of the clips before the game, like he was like
a lot of love.
Yeah,
a lot of
everybody
love
was excited.
Yeah, a lot
to see
of love.
Him. I'm curious if you think he has a point, because look, the any given Sunday thing does apply. And if we're being honest, the problem, at least from my perspective, is that they fell behind huge against the Vikings the first time, and they did it again yesterday. Not quite as huge, but still huge. They fell behind the Lions huge the first time, and they had a fight back, not quite as huge of a hole, the second time. If you're going to fall into the holes where you have to climb out of them, you can probably do that against bad teams. You can't do that against the ones that are better than you.
No, good teams don't let you come back, and they kind of put the foot down when you get that opportunity. A bunch of Lions fans floating through the airport.
Are you in the Detroit airport?
No, that's the part that's funny.
Okay.
I think I normally like to agree with you, Jason, and Aaron Jones. I've been around him and have seen him. He is a world-class dude. You know, some guys are phony baloney. He is not. He is the real deal. But I kind of agree with the YouTube. Like, what is Aaron Jones going to say? I'm not going to take a ton of credence in what he's saying, like that, you know, he thinks this. Yeah, Green Bay is a good team, and they've given them good fights. But Minnesota, you saw how they celebrated yesterday in that locker room. That was pretty cool with the Sam Darnold piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are a good team, but I think both Detroit and Minnesota both are looking at it saying they're good, but they don't have that next gear. And they don't want to play them, but I think they also are looking at it saying, all we got to do, the formula is now written for them. This is not going to be Nebraska-Wisconsin volleyball where it's we own you, we're just better, and we're going to sweep you 9 straight. That's not what this is. But there is a confidence that comes from winning like they did, and I think Minnesota feels very confident and I think Aaron Jones feels very good if they end up matching up with Green Bay again, because it will be at their place. And that home field, I thought, played a big factor in how they were able to get it done yesterday.
All right, so then let me ask you this, because I thought the most important thing he said, and I know it's a cliche about any given Sunday, but that's exactly what happened to you guys in 04. Like, did you not go into that game against the Vikings think you were clearly better than them? Did you not believe that after beating them twice, I think by field goals each time, at least one and maybe both of them were Ryan Longwell walk-offs?
I'm going to tell you this. I just felt like we didn't have to go up to the Metrodome. I always felt like we'd win. I felt like we'd win every home game we ever played. It was the road games and having all of that other stuff to contend with. And, you know, I thought that playoff game, we played tight. We didn't play well. We turned it over. We had one of our worst games, and that's the any given Sunday vibe that you get. And what's been most impressive about this Packers team has also been what's most disappointing. And that is the most impressive thing is this team did not get routed all season. You could say Detroit 24-14 was probably the worst route of the season. There's always these slip-ups that good teams will have, and they didn't have it this year. But they never got that signature moment. The signature moment's going to have to come in a playoff game, which is, by the way, where you end up getting most of your signature
moments. Do teams need one of those during the regular season to figure
young
out?
Teams, young
back
teams
to having
do that
the
don't.
Bubbles on your videos, too. I think we just got a thumbs up from you. So keep up the good work over there.
Oh, I'm really good at it. I look at it, and I think there is an importance to making guys believe, because the only time I ever felt that way was on the flip side of it, and that was in that 05 season where, oh, blank, what's going to go wrong now? And that is the feeling you get when that continues to happen. And you hope, and I think this team is young enough that it's not there, where you're saying, no, it's another slow start. It's going to be that. That gets eroded when you have a throttling or something good happen. And I think yesterday, not that that occurred, but you just kind of started feeling it. And if Sam Darnold doesn't throw that pick, I think yesterday's game gets out of control the other way. Mm. And I think you don't see Jordan Love in the fourth quarter. I think you'd have saw Malik Willis. If that thing got to, 24, 27 points, I think it would have been deuces. But the pick allowed Green Bay back in it. They got the juice going back. And then you gave that opportunity to Green Bay to stay in that football game. And they did, to their credit. And they fought and scrapped and almost got it done.
All right, let's get to our positives and negatives so we can get to your calls, 844-770-3776. Tausch, I want you to go further into your thoughts on Matt LaFleur. He was getting after my friend Mike Carr, former UW alum and Columbus High School alum, on the sideline, the down judge that he was not pleased with on the offsides call. But
yeah,
there were
the
multiple
offside
instances.
Stuff has to stop. That was a bad call. And then the one on the Minnesota Vikings was a bad call. Like, you can go into the neutral zone. If nobody jumps or the ball isn't snapped, you can get back. Like, and it happened a bunch. I watched a little football yesterday. It happened in a couple of games. They're starting to blow it dead. No, that's not
correct.
Unless they change the rule. Unless
they
changed
the
rule.
And that's what I was going to say.
Maybe they did without telling us like they did with Sky Judge. Whatever. Just let us know so that we can act like we know what we're talking about, because that's ridiculous. The call on Edgerrin Cooper was bad. Bad call. Same thing with the Vikings being lined up in the neutral. That was a bad call because it didn't happen, and they blew it dead. I don't know if they want to get rid of free plays, if there's too much injury risk. I don't know. Just let us know. That's a negative from the game yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What about his overall emotional behavior? Because you talked a little bit about it. You saw – how does that – I guess my question is, because there were times when Mike McCarthy was emotional. There were times when Mike Sherman was emotional. But you think it's gone a bridge too far with Matt LaFleur?
I do. And I've thought that with the challenges that he's done. I've said this numerous times. Listen, I don't have any problem. Football is a game of emotion. No doubt. But not everything needs to be, oh, my God, the world is coming to an end. Like, you drop a pat and he puts his hands up. And there is a steadiness that is needed, I think, on the sideline. Players look at their coaches for stability, and they look – it's – you will take a look to see, oh, this thing's getting out of control. It's kind of like when you're on an airplane and there's a lot of turbulence, and you kind of look at the flight attendant. And if the flight attendant is getting super jittery, if the flight attendant's not doing it, it's like, okay, this is just normal stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way in this instance. And Matt LaFleur, you feel how badly he wants to win. I love that. I think he is a really good coach. I don't want to make any misconstructions about that. But I don't want you acting, and I said on the postgame show, like somebody every time somebody stole your dog, like there's bad calls that happen. You have to get over it, deal with it, and adjust. It didn't just, you know, throw your hands up in the air. Whoa. You don't have to throw your hands up in the air, and everything doesn't need to be the biggest deal in the world. And I thought yesterday with how that game went, he told Aaron Andrews at halftime that the team came out tight. Why do you think the team came out tight? That was not a playoff game. That should have been the Vikings were the tight team. They were favored. They were at home. They needed it to stay in the hunt for a first seed, and they played looser than Green Bay did. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't understand about yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Look, there were a number of negatives.
Would you agree with my assessment on that?
Because you
are a much bigger LaFleur fan than I am. I think Matt's a really good coach. I think he has to level out. He has to start leveling out a little bit.
Yeah, I am hoping I am going to put in a request because I don't want to ask those types of questions in the press conference setting. I don't think that's going to result in earnest answers. It's just going to put him on the defensive publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to try and talk to him about this because I said this a couple of weeks ago too, right? I mean, and there was the game. What was it against? Was it against the Vikings the first time when he didn't get the timeout? And I defended him because I thought he had a point, but I didn't defend his actual behavior, like the jumping up and down like a, for lack of a better term, toddler who's not getting his way was not great, right? It was a bad look.
Goes the wrong way, and you could see that it wasn't the right call, and you're still going to challenge it because you're irritated. Like, that's fine if you're a rookie coach and you're figuring out. Matt LaFleur is the adult in the room.
Right.
He's the tone setter for this team. And the tone that his team played with yesterday for 2.5 quarters was tight and was, I want this. Yeah, we all know you want it. Uh-huh. But yesterday's game should have been a free flow. Let's go attack. And I didn't get that sense until it was too late.
My biggest negative is the pass rush. I have not believed in it all season. I've been poo-pooing it, saying, well, okay, great. They've got, I think they were seventh going into last week in sacks with 40, 15 of which had come in two games. They got them in bunches in a few games. They do not have a legitimate, consistent pass rush. And it wasn't like yesterday. It was just Sam Darnold, ding, 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 getting the ball out quickly. He was holding on to the ball. He was moving within the pocket.
Move to Addison was, you have to get home on that. He held it for 4 or 5 seconds on that throw.
He held it for so long that I'm not sure, like I was taking notes during the game. I put a question mark on whether or not it was a stop and go route because quite frankly, no one ever stops for that long. Mm-hmm. Right. And then he suddenly starts running again for the touchdown. So look, I understand that it's not just measured in sacks, but they did not get the job done. Once again, in terms of a pass rush, is Jeff Hafley in the playoffs just going to have to start legitimately blitzing as opposed to the simulated pressures? Because they don't get home with four, and good defenses do. So that was my biggest negative. What was your biggest positive?
Oh, Edgerrin Cooper. He is just
four tackles for loss.
He's playing the middle linebacker spot like we always hope. He plays downhill. He sets a tone. And I thought he played his tail off yesterday again. So, yeah, you could talk about pass rush. There were too many things on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball that wasn't good enough. And that's why they got beat. Minnesota won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, even though Green Bay ran the ball more effectively. Edgerrin Cooper was a dog again. He continues to show up, and you can't take him off the field. Whatever happens with Quay and when he gets back, Edgerrin Cooper needs to be the guy because he is a difference maker on that defense.
My biggest positive, and look, I still think they're better off with healthy and engaged Jair Alexander on the field. I don't know if that person still exists or not, frankly. I don't know. Maybe he does, but Carrington Valentine has answered the bell. Carrington Valentine dealt with injuries during camp and early in the season. He was sharing time with Eric Stokes. He is clearly better than Eric Stokes. Eric Stokes almost had an accidental pass breakup or a pick when there was an overthrow yesterday, but the official score did not give him a pass breakup, so I believe that streak remains intact. Carrington Valentine, his ball security is less than great once he intercepts the pass, but he is playing at a high level, and he gives them at least an alternative if everyone stays healthy. But again, they lose Zane Anderson, means they have to move Javon Bullard to safety. Javon Bullard did not have a great day yesterday, coming back from missing two games with his ankle injury. Now you're moving Keyshawn Nixon into the slot in the nickel, and that means you got Eric Stokes on the field. I don't like their chances if that's who they have to play in a playoff game against anybody with good wide receivers. If that does happen, though, and you're playing prize picks, you might want to take more on the Packers' opposing receivers.
Old T had a tough night on Free Flex Friday. I jumped back in. I don't know how this is possible, but I took a six. I wanted to go big, right? I wanted to get a six player. So I went big, 5 out of 6 wrong, which is almost as hard as getting 5 out of 6 right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't see that very often in Prize Picks, but it was still fun with over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. And it's simple to play more or less on two players. I went 6 on Friday. Not great. Yesterday I did all right, but Prize Picks, injury insurance, that's the only opportunity in the daily fantasy world that does that. And you can win not 100, but up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Download the app today. Use that code WI. Get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
Run your game. Your calls next. 844-770-3776. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
Let's get right to your calls. 844-770-3776. Jesse, I'm always struggling to get in the middle of these little boxes now. It's really hard. Or you could just not do it and just have a great shot of the ceiling and a tiny little toe shed that's about a quarter.
Yeah, you're trying too hard, Jason.
Don't confuse effort
with
results. Is
that not good?
You're great. Here, you're great,
OT. We're just happy to have you. Thanks. Thank you for your service. From a Dane County Airport with lots of Lions fans in it or something. Let's get to the calls. Let's start with John in Monroe. John, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How you doing?
Good. Good morning. Couple of things. I'll try to go as quickly as I can. One is, obviously, you guys have touched a lot of it, but one is the pass rush. Goody has got to get a pass rusher in free agency because they don't have one other than potentially Cooper, but it's got to come from the front four. The other thing is my positive, sorry, I'm getting out of order. Positive is one, the Cooper play, and two, they really solved the place-kicking situation.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing is, as they've talked about all season, there is no number one receiver, and that was proven yesterday. The play calling, they were running the ball great in the first series. Unfortunately, he fumbled the ball. But then the second time they get the ball, they're chucking the ball down 30 yards on passes, and none of them hit. And so that was a loss of a series. And it just seems like LaFleur just kind of loses it all. He did, as you mentioned, he panics or loses his emotion or things like that. And the whole operation just stagnates. The opposing receivers, they're wide open. Nobody's around any of these people, whereas Minnesota just covers them like a blanket. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I think there's definitely John. Thanks for the call, and I think you make some good points. Now, look, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison are both number one wide receivers. They are good, right? They are elite level wide receivers. I think the point that John
is there
made,
anybody on our team that we'd take over Addison?
Only if we're biased, right? If we're being honest,
wow.
Like to John's point, like did they miss Christian Watson yesterday?
Yeah, they did.
I don't think there's any question they did. But has any of these and look, we and I are as guilty as anyone. There is a difference between having. I mean, now granted, his best catch didn't even end up counting because of a holding penalty. But do they have a gotta have it guy? That when you need that play, you know that he's going to make it. Fourth and two, when you decide to go for it from the 23-yard line, you've got Jaden Reed open across the middle. And whether the throw is not quite right or Jaden Reed doesn't hold on quite right, either way, that play does not end up getting completed. And, yes, I suppose it's possible that a Justin Jefferson-type wide receiver doesn't make that catch either. But Tausch, there's a reason why those guys get paid astronomical amounts, and they don't have a guy that you know almost without any single question whatsoever can come through when you need him to. They don't have that guy.
So will this end the debate of J.R. Ewing versus French, the ensemble cast? Does yesterday do that, or are we still Justin Jefferson on the, the big play of that game, one of, was at 2nd and 12 at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because the safe play would have been, just run it, make him use a timeout.
Right.
It's a different NFL. And I thought Tom Brady, while he got panned again by a lot of people yesterday, I thought he made a great point where it's at that point in the game where when he was playing quarterback, it wasn't about, I love this play. It was, what do my best players do best? That's what I'm going to do at that point in the game. And Justin Jefferson, they ran a simple over route and said, we're going to roll and we're going to fire it in there. You're going to make a play. And he did. And that set up that 3rd and 2 that eventually you ended up throwing the key pass and getting it and closing up the game. Green Bay doesn't have that. It used to be Jordy Nelson back shoulder, James Jones back shoulder, Davante Adams to get open. That's what this team did. And right now, I don't know if we have that. And that's something you have to eventually figure out. So for all of us that are excited about this cheap, young receiving core, we should be. There's a lot of talent. But Jaden Reed has basically been MIA. He has the last 5 weeks. I thought, he didn't get enough touches. They're going to manufacture some things and get him going.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't. And you could say that about Wicks, and you could say that about, you know, Romeo Doubs had a really nice game yesterday.
But he did.
The difference was Minnesota's two best were better than our group. Sam Darnold, in turn, was better than Jordan Love yesterday. Yeah. Well, their third was better because their first and second create a lot of consternation for your defense.
Mm-hmm.
Without Christian Watson, you were able to play more man-to-man, and that allowed, which again, I don't know how you didn't make any adjustments earlier. That was something I think Jordan said in his post game was, we maybe could have adjusted earlier. I'm sure that's what Josh Jacobs is talking about. But what good does that do you? Because now there's a really good potential. You're going to go play the one of the best teams on the road instead of being able to play a Rams or a Buccaneer team. And you know how this thing goes. You get one win, and all of a sudden that ball gets rolling.
Right.
So disappointing on many fronts, no doubt.
All right, we'll get some more of your calls coming up. 844-770-3776. Tausch, before we do that, tell us a little bit about what Fortrea has going on these days if you want to make some go to Philadelphia for the first round of the playoffs.
Philly or Tampa or L.A., and you're looking for that cash, Fortrea's got you covered. Bunch of different studies. Healthy, overweight adults, ages 18 to 65, BMI 27 to 40. Two separate stays totaling 65 nights, six outpatient visits, $27,463 for your time and participation, another $400 per qualified referral. Visit FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down. He's got a pedigree that's no good.
Let's keep rolling with the calls. 844-770-3776. Packers lose to the Vikings 27-25, trailing 27-10, and then scoring 15 straight points and then not being able to get a stop and get the ball back. When the Vikings take over with 2:18 left in the game, with the two-minute warning and all three of their timeouts, and a couple of bootlegs and completed passes and a heck of a catch by Cam Akers to convert the critical third down, and Jordan Love never gets the ball back, and the Packers lose by two. Let's go to Eric in Green Bay. Eric, good morning. How you doing today?
Morning. Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great. Great weekend in the Twin Cities. What a fun place to be. Not as fun for the Packers.
Glad you got out for. No, not as fun. Glad you got out there. We'll jump into negatives right away. And I think you brought up a really good point with not having kind of an elf on the offense as far as like in the receiving room. And I think the same argument can be made on the defensive side as well. Obviously, Xavier McKinney is an absolute dog, and Edrin Cooper could develop to become a star. But, you know, you look at fourth and two on offense, and it's like, well, who do we go to? Who's the one guy you trust? Same thing on defense. In those key moments of a game, it doesn't seem like we have, like with, you know, the 2010s, we had Clay Matthews or Reggie White for the last Super Bowl era. It doesn't seem like we have a guy who is just going to get after the quarterback and get it. And that could have made all the difference in a game like yesterday. Positives, it's kind of a positive and a negative. Yes, I mean, the low-hanging fruit is they showed some fight in the end of the game. But the analogy I kind of used was, you know, we kind of talk about this team in different tests and whether, you know, some of those easier games are like your, you know, basic math and now we're going up to algebra and advanced trig. It seems like this is a team that's often procrastinating before the big test, the big project or deadline. And against some of these wimpier teams, against your Chicago's, Jacksonville's, you can last minute kind of whip something together and survive. But like we've seen with one of the Detroit games and now both of these Minnesota games, you can't expect to all of a sudden get your stuff together and, you know, pray for a miracle at the end. So that's, again, slight positive, but definitely a negative twist on it.
So I'm glad you bring that up, Eric, and thanks for the call. So, Tausch, when you look at the slow starts, you talked a little bit about LaFleur. You know, if you look at what they did in, say, Dallas in the playoff game, right, what did they do?
They got off to a fast start, and the Cowboys didn't
played
know
loose.
What hit them.
Yeah, played loose.
So why is it that, like, the only game where they didn't fall behind insurmountably of these four losses to the two better teams in the NFC North was the second Detroit game, but they still fell behind 17-7. So they still were in a 10-point hole, not quite as large as some of the other holes. If you were trying to diagnose why that's occurring, what would you say it is?
I think each one is different. The Jordan Love injury component to two of those games, I think, is valid. You know, coming back for, I think, the first Viking game after the, you know, we thought he might be out for the season. That was a big deal. And then the groin, the second time around, like, those things, they're excuses, but it's also reality. The other one, I think last night, it was just, you're a little overwhelmed. The atmosphere was big. The crowd noise was there. And I think the crowd noise was definitely affected. I thought the Packers offensive line early in that game. And I get it. It's not an easy thing to do. And whether or not you kind of schemed up for that and tried to figure that out, that was another component to it. So there's not one set reason for why this has played out the way that it has, other than you're playing good teams and your margins just aren't there. And maybe that tells you that this isn't a great team, because you overcome that stuff. I love the fight, but at some point you have to take the fight to them first. And we have not seen that especially in these four games against the divisional teams that are just flat better than you throughout this regular season.
All right, let's get to one more call before the top of the hour, and then we'll continue with more of your calls during the 10 o'clock hour. 844-770-3776. Aaron Jones still getting some shrapnel in the YouTube comments. So my question for you is if you don't believe him, if you think he's just saying that because he's a nice guy, then tell me why you have less belief in the Packers' chances of winning a playoff game or two than Aaron Jones seems to. I'm curious about that because, yes, what is he going to say?
Why do you take so much credence in it, though?
Because here's the thing. I think players and I learned this from many players, including you. But I think players are smart enough to know how to say things that are not inflammatory, but also aren't giving false hope. Like, if you know that they're not very good, in my opinion, there's a way to say that without it sounding like you got your pom-poms out, right? As a player, right? Not him as a Viking is a little bit different. But you always
– But I'll say
this. When you knew your team wasn't very good, you had a way of saying things that didn't come out and say, yeah, we're not very good. But it also there's a middle ground of saying something that you don't really mean and then telling the unvarnished truth. In my experience,
I get what you're saying, but I just wipe this out because Aaron Jones wanted to be a Packer. He's got great friends over there yet.
He wants
to retire as a Packer. Like, we know how this is going to go. He'll probably work for the organization. There's because of the high quality dude he is. I just don't take anything at this point where he's at. He is not going to be an unbiased guy. Like, and he can feel a certain way, but I don't take any credence. What most players say, unless they're unvarnished,
He's saying the same thing you're saying.
I know, but
that they can win playoff games.
What difference?
But he's full of it, and you're not.
But he's. I just don't. Being a player is a different animal. I have no dog in this fight. I obviously want to see Green Bay win.
Other team.
Yeah, we just see it differently, and that's okay. You look at it and you think everything is the way it is. I just don't, from my perspective, Aaron Jones is a Viking. Great. I don't care what he thinks of the Green Bay Packers. I think he is going to be very – you want to compliment your opponents. You have a good idea that you could play them again, and that's all great. And I love the fact that he likes the Green Bay Packers. He shook LaFleur's hand before he did his own coach. Like, there's a lot there. Like, and I'd love to have somebody do a psychological breakdown on this whole deal because it'd be fascinating to me. But as far as him saying, boy, Packers are good. Yeah, no blank, Aaron. They are good, but they're not better than you guys. Not right now. And that's the reality.
Well, he didn't say they were better than his team, though, in fairness. All right, we will get to the 10 o'clock hour and get to your calls after Tausch tells us about Tito's, which I don't know where he's going, but I'm guessing there'll be Tito's served.
Tito's Handmade Vodka on game day? Yeah, pour me in, Coach. It's America's original craft vodka distilled from corn, and it is gluten-free. Visit us at titosvodka.com for recipes, videos, and more. Distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. It doesn't matter. You're on vacation. You're working. It's the holidays. A little cranberry. Whatever your heart desires. Just make sure Tito's is that top choice. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
Tausch will continue from the bottom right corner of his little video stream at the airport. I will continue from Minneapolis, and we will continue to take your calls. 844-770-3776. The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.